Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ain't he worthy? I know it ain't correct, but it just sounds good. Ain't he worthy? He's a mighty, mighty good God. Let me get at this lesson. This is where it says in verse 1 of Acts 3, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, and said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And they took him by the right hand, verse 7, and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bone received strength. And he leaping up and walked, entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Let me introduce your thoughts this morning to a subject, same no more. Same no more. Beloved, sometimes we live with the mistaken impression that things will always be the same. We work in the same place, doing the same things, meeting the same challenges, contending with the same issues, wrestling with the same problems, worrying with the same worries, stressing the same stresses, toting the same baggage, lifting the same bales. Sometime we live with the mistaken impression that things will always be the same. We may want things to change, but we will not do anything to change them. There comes a point when same is what we want. Are y'all in the house? It does not matter that whether that same is positive or negative. Same provides a certain amount of security. We know exactly what to expect. We know exactly what to experience because it is the same. Not only provides security, but also comfort. Yeah, it's comforting to know that things are going to be the There is no discomfort about same becoming worse or better. There is no discomfort about the rightness, the wrongness, the oughtness, the shouldness, because it is. Same has a track record with some of us. It has been the same for some of you a long time. Same is a familiar member of the family. Same works with us on the same job. Same employs and sign our same check. Same live with us, amen, in the same house. Same sleeps in the guest bedroom. Same eat at our table, spend our money, and like an unwelcome guest, same refuses to leave home. Same. Can y'all say same? Same has a track record with some of us. We have a scrapbook on same, with all the same pictures in it. We have learned how to monitor same. We have put a homing device on same. We have tilled the same soil and planted the same seed. We have learned how to do the same projects and the same assignments. We have cultivated same. We have nurtured same in our lives to the point that anything that is remotely different from same get us upset. Why, preacher? Because it is not the same. Let somebody sit in your same seat. Let somebody park in your same parking spot. And watch folk get upset. Some of us don't give enough money to own a seat. Amen. Anything that is not the same throws us off course. Y'all ain't saying nothing. We become confused and lost when change replaces same. We break out into cold sweats. Upset, aggravated does not begin to describe us when things are not the same. In fact, some of us get mad when something is not the same. Let someone do something different and watch all the members of the same committee move into action. Watch the committee protest against change because things are not the same. Just let some innovation sneak in. Let a new idea move aboard and watch the same patrol go into action. If something out of the ordinary occurs, everybody will start going to the same anonymous meeting saying, "Hi, my name is Terry and I'm a sameaholic." We live today, we live under the mistaken impression that things will always be the same. We stop looking for anything else. Our minds are stagnated. Our energy is defeated. No new ideas in, no new ideas out. Innovation is dead and buried. We stop looking. Creative thoughts do not stand a chance. Alternative directions are never considered. Thinking outside the box never crosses our mind. All because we live with the mistaken impression that things will always be the same. Now, before anyone get the wrong idea, same is a good and valuable member of the community. Same sits at the table with diversity and variety. Same has some redeeming values and qualities, has some value and worth. In fact, I've been married to the same woman for 32 years. and I'm not looking for a change. Y'all ain't said nothing. She is, however, let me walk carefully here. She is not the same woman that I married 32 years ago. I'm not the same man she married. Crisis has deepened our faith, and struggles have strengthened our character and conviction. It seems like when I think I got her where I need her to be, she flips a script on me. Y'all ain't saying nothing. But no matter how many times she flipped the script, I ain't going nowhere. Because there are some things must remain the same. Yeah. She's an older woman now, and you know, she's past that 50 mark now. And you know, as they get older, they kind of get their own way of thinking. And pretty much whatever they want, they pretty much get. And I've learned how to keep her happy. Just two words. Yes, honey. Y'all ain't saying nothing. And brethren, if you're going to have some peace in your house, you better learn how to say, yes, honey. Amen. If we're going to help this next generation, we got to show them how it's supposed to be done. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Listen, there's some things you better not fool with. This issue of living with the same expectation that things will always be the same rises to the surface in the periscope found in Acts 3, verse 1 through 10. Our text indicates that it's prayer time. And Peter and John, two of the apostles, were on their way to prayer meeting. They saw a lame man sitting at a gate called Beautiful, what some scholars believe was the east gate of Jerusalem. It was called Beautiful because it was decorated with Corinthian bronze, and when the sun rose, it cast a glorious glow upon the gate. There are two things in this passage of scripture that captures our immediate attention. First is the seriousness of the man's illness, and second is the immediacy of the cure. The man at the gate had been lame from birth. It was not his fault. His condition rendered him helpless. He was forced to sit in the same place, begging the same alms from whomever was going into and out of the temple to pray every morning. It was the same thing. The lame man waited for somebody to carry him to the gate. Every day it was the same. He begged for alms and passerbyers. Every night it was the same. He waited for somebody to remember he was at the gate and carry him home. He lived with the mistaken impression that things would always be. How many of you this morning are in your cage who can't get to where God wants you to be because you're stuck in a gear called same? The man asked for arms. What he needed was legs. I know the difference between ALM and ARM. This man asked for arms. And Peter simply replied, "We do not have what you want. We don't have what you are asking us for, but we do have what you need." Two broke preachers going to church and hollered, "I silver and gold have I none." But they had something better than silver and gold. Greenville Avenue, when you got the name of Jesus in your life, that's much better than silver and gold. Why? Because the cattle on 1,000 hills belongs to him. And as long as you got Jesus, you don't need nothing else. Y'all ain't saying that. Y'all ain't saying that. It's important for you to understand that there are a lot of things you want that you don't need. Some of you are in debt right now because of your wants. Some of you are struggling right now because of your wants. Your marriage is in trouble because of your wants. Don't you know wants will cause you to lose your mind? Especially when you got more going out than you got coming in. Some of us want a steak dinner when we really need is a bologna sandwich. Priest here, Wally. You're trying to live with the Joneses. No, if you can't run with the big dog, stay on the porch. I'm sorry. I remind myself I'm in Dallas. I ain't in Mississippi. I got to remind myself. I can't be using that kind of slang in here. If you can't make it happen, stay on the porch. Trying to outdo other folk. You better cut that out. The man asked me, I have what you want. But I got what you need. Sometime, beloved, we need to minister, or remember rather, there's a difference between our wants and our needs. We want a lot of things, but need only some things. We want a Mercedes, but we need a Chevrolet. We want a black diamond, but a fabulous fake will work. We want a T-bone fried chicken to get the job done. We tend to satisfy a desire and needs, Lord have mercy, wants tend to satisfy a desire, but needs tend to satisfy a necessity. Peter said, we do have what you need. I like what he said. We do have what you need. And to this generation, millennial generation, there is no different in this generation than the last generation. What they needed, you need. And if you don't have Jesus, if you don't have the Messiah, if you don't have the Savior of the world, money is not going to make you happy. We do not have what you want. But we do have what you need. It is the name of Jesus. The Bible says, in the name of Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, they said, rise up and walk. Y'all still on the line? I can hear that lame man say, what in the world am I going to do with a name? I need some money. What in the world am I going to do with a name if and when he comes to know Jesus? He'll learn about a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 long years. And all she did was touch him with a garment. Everything we need is in Jesus Christ. You want healing? It's in his name. You want a blessing? It's in your name. You want to be delivered from your depression? Is in his name. Everything we need. Y'all ain't saying nothing in here. Is in his name. Let me move on here and tell you this. The name of Jesus loosed the power of God to work in the man's body. Strengthening his ankle bone. Strengthening his feet. It was not the person of Jesus Christ, because he died, was buried, and rose from the grave. Jesus was not there physically, but the healing took place because of the name of Jesus. When the name of Jesus was spoken, or when someone speaks in the name of Jesus, the same power and authority of Jesus is now in his name. That's why when my brother prayed, he closed the prayer by saying, in Jesus' name, by his authority, we've been given the right to talk to God through his son Jesus and give it by Jesus' authority. All hail the power of Jesus' name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. Both the power and the authority of Jesus are in Jesus' name. When we have power, that means we have strength, the influence, the means to act. Power means presence, ability, the capability of doing whatever needs to be done. But now power is different than authority. Authority is when you have been authorized to use the power outside of yourself or the power of another source. You are authorized to handle their power. It is not your power, but the authorized power of another agent that is greater than your own. The authorized use of the power gives you their capacity and capability to do whatever needs to be done. When you pray, in the name of Jesus, the power and authority of Jesus is released in the prayer. When Peter said, in the name of Jesus, it was the power and authority of Jesus that loosed the power of God in the lame man's life. The name of Jesus. There was a trigger to release the power. A trigger activates a mechanism that discharges power from a weapon. Now, in order to get power from one place to another, you have to have an activation device. The name of Jesus is the trigger that initiates the power of God in the direction of the name. It activates the loose guns of heaven. Power moves at the name of Jesus. Heaven comes to attention when the name is spoken and dispatches power. Angels begin to move at God's command. Deliverance packs his bags, get ready to move. Healing gets in a hurry. Hope is encouraged just because of the name of Jesus. Can I preach a minute? There's power. I said there's power. There is power in the name of Jesus. There's power when you preach in the name of Jesus. There's power when you pray in the name of Jesus. There's power when you witness in the name of Jesus. There's power when you go in the name of Jesus. When you serve, when you work, and when you worship, there's power in the name of Jesus. Now, let me close. When Peter spoke the name of Jesus to the lame man, understand now that he had everything he needed to walk. Understand now, he had everything he needed to walk, but he could not. He had feet, ankles, he had legs, he had knees, he had hips, he had tendons, he had muscles. He had all basic equipment that God issues to every human being. Yet, he could not walk. He had everything he needed. Hear me now. Except the power of God. He had everything he needed to walk. But what he did not have in his life was the power of God working in his life. When the power in the name was released, the man was able to walk. The lame man looked at Peter and looked took his eyes off of himself. He looked away from his rut and looked up toward his help. The Bible says that immediately the man got up and he walked at the name of Jesus. Same got out of the rut at the name of Jesus. Same got out of the rut. You want to get out of your rut this morning? Now, I don't know all of y'all in here, but some of you look like you're in a rut. I know you're dressed up, and I know you're smelling good. I know you're driving good, but you can look good, smell good, work good, and still be in a rut. You're just spinning your wheels. He did not have the power of God working in his life. When the power was released, he looked up toward his help. The Bible says immediately at the name of Jesus, Sam got out of the rut, got in touch with the good ground beneath him, and changed. Now that scares a lot of us. What they doing up there? Wasn't it doing pretty good already? If you allow folk to do things the same way for so long, when you do bring in something that is better, it makes them angry. At the Grove, that's why I mix up things, to keep people understand that some things you got to make some changes in. Because if you ain't careful, you'll start thinking that Greenville Avenue building is yours. Okay. You'll start thinking that the church belongs to you. I know it was kind of comical a minute ago when I said something about some members. I think that the pew is theirs. Can I tell the truth? Some of y'all really believe that. Y'all got a kitchen in this building. Whoever's over that kitchen, if you let them stay too long. Y'all, man, I ain't got to go there, but you know where I'm going. If you ain't careful, they'll believe the pot belongs to them. They'll think the fork belongs to them. That's why you got to make a. Because if you leave a person in the same position too long, he think he owns it. Priest Terry Watson. Listen. When he got out of it, listen. What made the difference in the man's life was the power of God. I'm a country boy by heart. I must admit, I grew up with two wonderful grandparents. But I had a grandfather in the Church of Christ. He was stubborn, but I loved him. He had my best interest at heart. And I used to love going to the fields with him and picking peas and picking all. You know, I didn't know I had a back until I had to pick lima beans. And see, peas you can stand up and just grab. Corn, you can just pull it off the stalk. But lima beans, so some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. But you had to get down and bend your back. And you got to stay down there. Why? Because underneath is all the beans. And it may be 30 or 40 beans on one stalk. So you got to get under that. And when you raise up, you feel like you. And I said, "Ooh, wee, granddaddy, my back is hurting." The boy, you ain't got no back. You got a gristle. And I told him, I said, "Well, whatever this gristle is, it hurts." And we would plow the field with old mule called Betsy and Sire. I came along at the very end. Granddaddy was still using two mules. And I'm looking across the street at John Deere. Y'all ain't saying nothing. So you got some people here at Greenville still in 1968. Let me just wake you up. It's 2018. Listen, I said, "Granddad," I said, "what's wrong with getting John Deere over there? That man done plowed the field, turned it over, rolled it, and he threw for the day. We're going to be here 2 weeks before we get the rolls done. Bess and Sal is too slow. It's not that I don't appreciate Bess and Sal, but God didn't give me John Deere for no reason." So I was working part-time at a McDonald's and I'm working with my father, and I was saving my money, and so I rented the tractor. But I didn't tell my granddaddy. And I was taught to get up early, Because don't nothing come to a sleeper but a dream. So some of you sleeping men, get your lazy self up. Get out of your dream and go to work. Priest Terry Wilder. Anyway, I got up about 5 o'clock. And while granddaddy was still in the bed, I was on John Deere. Man, I was making stuff happen. And I was trying to get it done before granddaddy got up. And by the time he got out to the field, I was through. Boy, what have you done? I said, I did in 1 hour what it takes us 3 days to do. Don't you know he got mad? But it didn't take him long. And he looked at me, he said, son, why would you do that? I said, because I love you. I love you so much that I had to show you that God didn't put this in the world for us just to look at. I said, now, granddaddy, don't throw away Bess and Sal, because Bess and Sal brought us to John Deere. Now, what I want you to do, all that good grass we got out there, put Bess and Sal out there and let them graze. They done did their job. And so one day, I borrowed the tractor again. And y'all can tell I'm a clown. So I was clowning on the tractor. I made the tractor stand up. And I was walking it down the field on the back and got stuck. I said, what in the world am I going to do? I done borrowed somebody's tractor and have no business clowning on it. How am I going to get it out? You know what I went and did? I went to the pastor. And I got Bessie and Sal. I hooked Bessie and Sal up to John Deere. I hit old Bessie and Sal. I said, giddy up. And they pull that. Listen, young folk, don't you think for one moment you don't need old folk. Because sometimes, young folk, you'll be a John Deere that got stuck. And you need somebody to pull you out. You ain't got no money, but you got bad credit. Old folk got some money. Priest Terry Wilder. Our churches are splitting all across the brotherhood because young men and older men can't get together. You better learn that we need one another. Had not been for Bess and Sal, me and John Deere still be stuck. This man. And listen, church, change is all around us. But if you keep doing the same thing, the same way, you're going to keep getting the same results. And you do know when you keep doing the same thing, the same way, getting the same results, but expecting something different, you're insane. If what you've been doing for the last 10 years still got you broke, you need to do something else. Y'all ain't feeling me. Y'all ain't feeling me. Listen, change is all around us. But for some reason in the churches of Christ of my Lord, we struggle with. But the world is moving whether we change or not. How we handle business in the church, the business world is changing whether you like it or not. When I was coming along, y'all remember when we had them records, the 45s and the 78s? If you in here, you know what I'm talking about, raise your hand. If you know what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah, okay, all right. You know, you remember that grandma and granddad had that beautiful long stereo that looked like a piece of furniture? Yeah, y'all ain't saying nothing. And y'all remember who we used to play those albums and 45, and when the needle get messed up, we put a penny, a dime, a quarter on top of the needle. And you be listening to that song, Diamond in the Back, Sunroof Talk, Top, digging the scene with the gangster lean. Ooh. Y'all remember? Watch this. And if you really had a nice one, you had that 8-track tape player. Now, I never understood how it could be 8 tracks when you only had 4 songs. Watch this. But it didn't take long. We moved from the album to 8 tracks. From 8 tracks to And when they sold us the car, some of us got so mad, we still want it. And then we moved to the CD. And some of us got so angry, we wanted the cassette and the CD. But guess what? They didn't care what you wanted. They were moving toward change because this was in the best interest of the consumer. So they left the cassettes off, and all you have now, CDs and DVDs. And now if you're smart, you can just stick a flash drive in your car. But what is it about us that we struggle so much with change? Because many times it's all about us. Preach Terry Wallace, you got some folk in the church. If they say it ain't going, it ain't going. But what if it's in the best interest of the kingdom? Listen, I can hear some of them saying to this man, it don't take all that. All this, the Bible says immediately. Some of our churches and many of our ministries are like the lame man. We have everything we need to make it right. We have intellect, social standings, status. We have equipment, structure, and success. We have skills and talents. We have attendees, givers, and members. We have everything we need to make it work, except we have no power. No power. What we need is the power of God released in our lives. What was missing from the lame man was the power of Jesus. And when the power of God was released in him, the text revealed that he went into the temple jumping and leaping. It was a place that was off, out of reach rather. It was in view, but out of reach. And when the power of God is activated in your life, you will go places you have never gone before and do things you've never done. The lame man neighbors were amazed. They whispered, is this the same man? Sometimes we live with the mistaken impression that things will always be the same. When the power of God is released in your life, others will ask, is that the same man? Is that the same woman? They used to. Is that the same church that used to? Is that the same child that used to? Is this the same family that used to? No, we are not the same anymore. Sometimes we live with the mistaken impression that things will always be the same. Nothing will never be the same when the power of God is activated, saying, no more. And there are some folk in the church, you know, it just don't take all that clapping and all that shouting and all that standing up in church. I hear you thinking already. The reason you said that, you ain't never been lame.
What are you doing all that jumping for?
You ever been lame? The text. He had been lame for 40 years. And he was lame from birth. Can you imagine? Come on now, put your sanctified imagination on. Take your Pharisee, take your Sadducee mind out. And put the sanctified mind on for a moment. Just think with me for a moment. He had never, ever walked. He meet two broke preachers. But he listened. This guy was at church every day.
He was at the temple every day. And you know why he was there every day? Somebody was helping him. You know why? People that stand on these corners will work for food and need help. You know why they keep standing there? We helping them. You don't keep hanging out at a place where you ain't getting no help. Y'all ain't saying nothing. This man stayed there because if they didn't give him nothing coming in, when Brother Gibb get through working Sunday morning, when they come out, they gonna drop something in there. But this morning, this time, silver and gold have I known. But such as I have give I to thee in the. And he looked at him, took him by his right hand, and he started leaping, jumping. Can you see folks saying, why he doing all that? You've been seeing him lame for 40 years. What do you mean, what he doing that for? And the only reason you ain't jumping, you ain't never been lame. And it kills me when we get so upset when somebody's happy. Do you know that they almost got killed last night? Do you know what they really went through all last week just to get here? And you telling me, stop now. We don't do that in here. Are you serious? How you going to tell a man who has never walked a day in his life, he asked for arms, but he got legs. And you tell him, we don't do that here. Y'all ain't saying nothing. And listen, when he came in church, he was the loudest thing in there. I've been in some churches. A member get kind of loud. At one church in particular, I ain't going to tell y'all where it is. They told that woman to sit down. I said, leave that woman alone. I've been working on that fire a long time. Let her burn, because if she burn, somebody else will start burning. Listen, if we're going to move to the next level, we have got to let people experience freedom in Christ. We done held them back too long now. If you want them people from over there to come over here, we got to have a little joy in our salvation. Now, no. Never give up the meat of the word. But every meat makes some good gravy. And when they come over here, they need to know that not only do we have meat, we have a little gravy. Y'all ain't saying nothing. See, over there, y'all been over there. You know, y'all been over there. And you know, over there, they got a 40-piece band. And they got a pastor who sure enough know how to put his weight on it. Y'all know what I'm saying? You see, some of y'all haven't said amen since I've been in here. Some of you been just like this all morning. But over there, the pastor can just walk out of his office and walk up to the pulpit and people start clapping. Not because of him, but what he carries. He walks up to the pulpit, and he ain't said one scripture. He'll just say, ain't he all right? Y'all ain't saying nothing. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? And the piano go, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? I looked at my hands and they looked new. I looked at my feet and they did too. And the mother boy go, yeah. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? But you want them folk to come from over there, over here. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Every now and then, the song leader has got to get up and sing like the Holy Ghost done thumped him on his head. I know I've been changed. Every now and then the church has got to give it back to, listen, we are not the audience. God is the audience. We are the performers. And when we get through worshiping God, we would hope that he says, I appreciate that. When I was a little boy, I'm through. Y'all come on, stand up with me, stand up with me, stand up with me. When I was a little boy, I would leave the Church of Christ at 1 o'clock. And over at Second Baptist, church wasn't getting right till about 2 o'clock. And old Govan was the pastor at my grandmama's church. And if I wanted truth, I'd go to the Church of Christ. But when I wanted some gravy, y'all ain't saying nothing. Y'all looking at me, but y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of you right now, when you turn on the TV, you got Church of Christ and so-and-so. You're going to leave it on so-and-so because he bringing it. But sometimes Church of Christ, we just standing once. Don't look like we got no fire. Listen, my granddad told me when I was a little boy, if your sermon ain't got no fire in it, put your sermon in the fire. If you ain't feeling it, they ain't gonna feel it. If it ain't doing nothing for you, no. Don't y'all leave here saying, I want y'all running down the aisles and jumping pews. No. If you're going to sing, sing like the Holy Spirit is in this place. If the word of God is being preached, don't sit there with your arm folded like he ain't never done nothing for you. Take your time and tell him, thank you, Lord. Every now and again, say hallelujah. Y'all ain't saying that. Y'all don't like this dude. Y'all don't like this dude. When I see that lame man, when somebody come into Greenville Avenue, they've been lame all their life, and the word of God loosed them. If they run down the aisle, you ought to be running with them. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Because it wasn't you who did it. It was him who, listen, don't you know you didn't wake yourself up this morning? If the Lord hadn't whispered, you'd still be asleep. These shoes we wear, clothes we wear, God provided all, and everything. Some of us don't know what it's like to be without. You have not been without for 20 years. And sometimes we have never said publicly in the presence of your brothers and sisters, thank you. The first time some of you all have ever said thank you was this morning when I sung, thank you, Lord. Because we've gotten caught up. I did this. You didn't do nothing. If you're here this morning and you done got caught up in same, tell your neighbor same no more. Don't leave here like you came. When that man that left, he was never the same. Everywhere he went, look at me. And I'm sure folk got tired of it. It didn't make him no difference. He could walk. And see, when you know what you got, you don't care what folks say. When you know what the Lord has done, you don't get caught up. When you know it, all I tell folk who come to me talking about I don't take all this praise, you better leave me alone. Because that man has done too much. I'm so blessed, I can't hardly hold my peace sometimes. Why? Because I know it's not me. But the word shows me that through his faith. And if you just have faith in him and you stay committed in your faith to him, he'll bless you beyond measures. And young folk, I'm through now. You won't get what you are desiring to have overnight. You got to burn some midnight oil. You got to go through some things to have what you see other folk got. And everything that you see that is glittering, it ain't gold. I don't know who you are this morning, but your family's hurting this morning. And you've been faking it, trying to make it. You know you and your wife is not talking, but you're walking up in church every Sunday. How y'all doing? Come on down here and tell the church you need prayer. Your son, your daughter's on drugs. Smoking that left-hand cigarette. and you haven't brought them down here yet. What are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? You're trying to start a new career, but the Lord ain't in it nowhere. You feel like you're just in a rut. Where's the Lord? Is he in there? Anywhere? If you're here this morning and you're unchurched, you're not a child of God, you're not a Christian, but you know you need the Lord. You're in the right place this morning. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Believe what you heard. Watch this. And repent of your sins. Confess Christ to be God's son. Be willing to be baptized. And in baptism, all of your sins are washed away. I hear people saying baptism doesn't save. But baptism does save. And it does more than save. You can't get forgiveness of sin unless you get in the water. You can't get your sins washed away unless you get in the water. You can't even get the Holy Spirit unless you get in the water. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And your faith is going to lead you to obedience. And obedience is going to demand that you follow the examples of Christ. And if Jesus got in the water, you know you need to get in the water. Jesus said, suffer it to be so, John, that we may fulfill. If Jesus got in there. And it's amazing, Brother Gibbs, how folks say, you ain't got to be baptized to be saved. Mark 16:16 is so clear, and Jesus was talking. They can't understand that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But if we put outside on a board, he that believeth and is baptized shall receive a Mercedes, you won't be able to get folk in here tomorrow. They can understand that, but they can't understand he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. What are you waiting? Won't you come? Not tomorrow, because the day you hear my voice, hard not to heart. Won't you come as he sings?
Jesus, you've been good to me. Jesus,
won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you come? This may be the last time. This may be your last time to tell God I'm sorry. Won't you come? Don't leave this morning and you know things are not right in your life, in your home, in college, struggling. He's there for you. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. What you waiting on? In the balcony, what are you waiting on? The Lord is calling for you this morning. Don't let this moment